Double Fries No Slaw presented by Prize Picks. We'll talk more about them in just a moment. Appreciate our friends over at Guthrie's and Tallahassee Ford as well. We'll give all of them some love. But Richie, here it is on June 14th. Florida State finally starts trending in a little bit of a positive direction in recruiting. I don't know how positive. We'll get into all that in just a few minutes. But man, how's your last 2 weeks been?
Good, man. I see you've been traveling the globe and everything, loving it out in Utah, and it looks like a good time out there. But yeah, just enjoying actually a positive week for the most part for Florida State. Well, there'll be a little negative because it is Double Fries, right? And this team is still what they are. But overall, yeah, actually this is going to be a pleasant show. I have a good feeling about it.
We're going to at least start positive. All right. Like, that's a good way to, like, we may get into some stuff later that's not as much fun, but we are going to start positive. But yeah, I got to go out to Utah. That was a ton of fun. Are you enjoying the World Cup? Like, I might have talked about this a little bit on here, but I traveled a little bit last week, going to travel again next week. I'm going to Dallas in a week from today, for the World Cup. So yeah, like I'm excited. I've been enjoying it. I don't know if you've been watching or not, but it has been a lot of fun.
So I did watch USA beat Paraguay. So that was nice.
Ton of fun. Yeah.
The only World Cup I've watched. So I'm going to be that American who only watches USA. And then I'm going to pick one of the front runners once USA is eliminated, which they eventually will be.
Okay. So I'll say this. I know nobody tuned in to watch our World Cup coverage, but if they play like that, and Paraguay is, like, not terrible. Like, they're not one of the favorites to go out and win this, but they beat both Argentina, the current World Cup champions, Lionel Messi, all those guys. They beat them, and they beat Brazil in qualifiers. Like, Paraguay is not, like, just Curaçao, who's playing Germany and down 3-1 right now. Like, they're not, like, I mean, Germany could legitimately win this game 6-1. They were a 3.5 goal favorite. I'm watching it as we talk. They're not that bad. Like, you beat a really good team. So all that said, the U.S. should win their next two group matches against Australia and then Turkey. They probably won't because, it's hard to be perfect. But they should win their next two group matches. And if they do that, I think they've got a chance to go to the quarterfinals. And if you could get to the top eight at that point, they would play Argentina, which I don't think they could beat them. They'd be slated to face Argentina had one of them not dropped a game earlier. If you do that, man, if you get to the quarterfinals, that's a win. Like, that'd be the farthest you've ever gone. I'd be pretty happy. I feel like it'd be hard to complain there. And then if you lose to the current World Cup champions and that team goes on to the World Cup final, like, as Germany just scores again, so it's 4-1, how could you really complain at that point?
Yeah, and I don't think you can. It's just a fun time, something to bring the country together for the 250th birthday of this great nation. So I'm all for it. I'll be watching again Friday night. All for this.
Double Fries, No Slaw. We'll get off the World Cup for a few minutes, but I am excited to go out next week and see it in person. Double Fries, No Slaw, presented by Guthrie's. You can visit all three of their locations, 1818 West Tennessee, 2550 North Monroe, and 2870 Appalachian Parkway. We appreciate them for their support. There is nothing more American than getting a gut box while you watch the World Cup banging a bunch of goals against these other countries. So get you a gut box on Friday night if you're anywhere near a Guthrie's, especially in that Tallahassee area. Some recruiting, because Florida State finally had a good week. Now, we've talked about recruiting. We've moaned and whined and complained about recruiting. It is no surprise that they eventually started taking more recruits. We complained last week about them losing a four-star Mekhi Williams ended up at Wisconsin. We complained about that. We've talked about their rating. We've talked about, it's not been good enough, and everybody understands that. They added some commits this week, Richie, and not only did they add some commits before we talk about the guys that did actually jump in the class, they actually added some good commits. Now, they're not perfect. This staff is not back by any means. They still have a lot of deficiencies that they don't, all those things. For the guys they added, I think they did a good job. Like, I'm not going to sit here and crap on the commits that they got because they went up against some heavy hitters. They pulled in some blue chips. They had a very good if you want to be really negative, they had a respectable week. Can they be better? Sure. They're not recruiting like Miami. They're not recruiting like Florida or Ohio State or any of these programs. They had a good week, all things considered.
They really did. And you know, one thing I love to look at, because we know we're not in it for any of these, you know, high-end four stars, you know, super high-end four stars, five stars right now. But what we are in it for is players that other legitimate programs do want. Right. You know, a flippy kid from South Carolina, that's a good flip given where Florida State is right now. Then you look at some of the other prospects and the offers they had, you know, Ohio State's in it. You have to be pleased for the most part with how things went.
Yeah. Again, when they do things well, we're going to say that they did things well. And I think this is, for the first time in a while, something that we can very much brag on and very much be happy that they did well. So let's talk about some of these kids. They got Sean Green, a wide receiver out of Camden County High School out of Kingsland, Georgia. 5'10", 160 pounds. He is a 90 rating on 24/7 Sports. He's a four-star, about, I don't know, top 200 kid, number 185, number 28 overall in Georgia. The 28th best receiver, number 14 overall in Georgia. And you beat out UGA for him. Like, I don't know what else you really want other than taking a kid from UGA that's in Georgia. Now, the last time you did that, he flipped on signing day. So you're hoping that that's not the case when you end up getting to signing day this year. But all in all, a good win. Explosive, ton of speed. He runs track. Like, he's a great pickup for this class. I think he fits. Again, we've had our questions about, like, who will be leading this program going forward. I think he fits the kind of wide receiver that Mike Norvell would like to bring in. He is kind of do it all. He can go deep. He can, you know, play underneath in the screen game, which I know Mike loves. He can do a lot of things. He's not just kind of a one-trick pony. And though he doesn't have a ton of size, I mean, he's got a similar size to Rashad Green, who was phenomenal for you for a long time. So I'm not telling you he's going to be Rashad Green, but I do think that you could certainly use a speedster like him. And I think this is a great pickup for FSU.
Yeah, and like you said, it's still early, but getting anyone to say yes who has legitimate options right now, and this is not taking a shot at the staff. I promise, guys, I'm not. It is exciting to see what could be with this class. You know, what are they trying to build right now? Because when you get a player like that, like you mentioned, signing day is a long ways away, but we can be happy in the moment of when these commitments do happen. And going into Georgia, and that's been a stronghold for Florida State historically. So that's an area that you, whether it be Mike or whoever else is here next year, that needs to continue to have that pipeline in Georgia. And getting a player of that caliber to say yes right now is nice, because, you know, the old saying in recruiting, it's much easier to keep a kid than it is to flip a kid. So you'd rather be in this situation right now where you have the commitment and you can hold on to him and play defense. And who knows, maybe they go out and surprise the world and win, you know, 8-9 games that nobody's saying they can't, or it's not a possibility. So I think, you know, they're putting together quietly, and I say this knowing where the class ranks nationally right now, they had a good week, I'll put it that way. Well, and we'll talk more about some of the other ones they got in. I don't want to, you know, sound like we're going all the way in right now on the recruiting, but this show is for this week, and I don't have a whole lot of bad things to say. So this could be a trend. I'm kind of liking the segment so far, TJ.
Yeah, well, just stay tuned for later then. Second commit is Jaden Miles, running back out of Baton Rouge High School in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I'll say this. If there's one thing Florida State staff loves, they love loading up on running backs. Obviously, they want to be a team that runs the ball first. They have not recruited quarterback well enough to not be a team that runs the ball well first. So that makes a lot of sense. 6'2", a little over 200 pounds. Again, a 90 on 24/7 Sports as his rating. Four-star running back. He's the number 17 running back. He's the number 11 player overall in Louisiana. Just a big back, obviously, at 6'2", over 200 pounds. He does a good job at Baton Rouge Catholic High School. Had over 1,657 yards, 24 touchdowns. great size and speed for a combo, does kind of can be an every down back, not just a, oh, this is your third down guy, this is your speedster, can actually be a guy that carries the bulk of, you know, what you want to do from a running game perspective. So I think this is another pickup. I mean, you can question a lot of things about this staff, but they do a good job with the skill positions more often than not. I think anytime you're going up against, you kind of wonder, like, will LSU make a move here? When he committed, it was over LSU and Ohio State. So you kind of wonder, man, if LSU really put the pressure on, would you be able to get the signature on signing day? Because Florida State's closes have not been strong. But again, you can't worry so much about what's going to happen on signing day, because we don't know, right? We're not there yet. So I do think this is another good pickup for Florida State. I am not upset about beating Ohio State or LSU at any point ever, especially for a blue chip.
Yeah, and like you said, both Ohio State and LSU will be teams to keep an eye on in this recruitment. But, you know, he could have legitimately gone there. He may not have been the number one choice, but I don't care. Give me the number four choice for Ohio State at almost any position right now, and I'll be happy. So I think this is another good pickup. I think he's more of the traditional mold of what Mike Norvell wants a running back to be. If he could create him, you know, 6'2", might be a little on the tall end, but again, he's kind of more your traditional back. But I think one thing that people might not realize, because you see his measurables, he's pretty good out of the backfield too. I think he had, you know, a lot of all-purpose yards from scrimmage total, and, you know, at 20 plus touchdowns, a guy that I think, you know, again, when you look at the schools who were in it, you know, it's not like he chose Florida State over, you know, Georgia Tech in West Virginia. You know, there were other heavy hitters involved. And if the entire class were guys like this in this ballpark, and Mike had been recruiting like this from day one, you know, we're singing a different tune about, man, we're happy we're top 15-ish or so, but why aren't we top five yet? And again, these are the kind of pickups that you want to see. This should be the majority of a Florida State class.
Jannard Albright, a four-star safety / linebacker, kind of a tweener. I don't know exactly where, you know, Florida State will play him, but 6'2", 205 pounds. I would think he leans a little more linebacker than safety at Florida State, but we'll see kind of how he fills out. You flipped him from South Carolina, a school that, you know, their coach is also on the hot seat, and Shane Beamer does a good job in the run game. I think that's kind of, I think he's a little bit better in the run than the pass, but he doesn't play bad at the high school level. You know, has enough movement, has enough speed to play well, you know, in the deep secondary. I kind of like him in the run game a little bit more. I would lean linebacker here. You have not recruited that position especially well, so hopefully that is where Florida State plays him. I don't know quite how well he fills out. Obviously, you're not going to play linebacker at 205 pounds. So interested to see just kind of what he looks like in a year or two if he does end up at Florida State. But again, flipping a highly sought after defensive player away from another SEC team, this is a win for the staff. I think this is a great pickup for FSU.
Yeah, I think so too. I definitely think he will be more of a linebacker. And in today's college football, you know, you love having linebackers who have a safety skill set, unless they're just a true middle linebacker, which you see so few elite guys at that position anyways. So having someone who has that skill set to get to defend backs coming out of the backfield, defend the wheel route, and he just has good football instincts. I think it's a good pickup. And again, you're just trying to fill out a class. I don't think this is going to be some sort of massive high school class. So these are the quality additions that you want to see. And you hope you continue to, but you know, I think he will be mainly at linebacker. I think that's probably more natural for him, especially in the college game. You know, beyond that, we'll see. But I think it's a good get, and you know, it helps soften the blow from you know, some other news this week. But overall, a very net positive pickup for Florida State right here.
Couple other pickups. Jackson Holly just committed today, an edge at Roswell High School in Georgia. 6'3 and a half, 225 pounds, an absolutely huge kid, very athletic, good edge rusher. I would like to see, obviously pretty raw with just his three-star rating. I think that's going to be a kind of a developmental piece for Florida State. I don't know that he's going to come in and be a day one impact, but man, he is huge at 6'3 and a half, 225 pounds. If you can add a little bit more size to that, if you can add a little bit more weight to that, I think you are looking at somebody who can be pretty physically imposing, and you'd like to see that. You know, you not every, especially with where we are right now, not every pickup's going to be an instant impact day one type guy. So you do need some guys that you can bring in and develop. This is a big win for Nick Williams, our new defensive ends coach, and you pull another one here today.
Yeah, you know, in the old saying, you can't teach size, right? So is it all good weight? Probably not where you want it to be at the elite college football level, but that's what college strength programs are for. And that's why a lot of players, you know, sure, you have these guys that can come in and contribute day one. He's probably not one of them, but he's one of those that, you know, what in your typical signing class that really intrigues you, that you look at him and say, okay, there's something to work with here. And maybe by the end of his sophomore year, heading into his junior year, he's one of those players who you're like, yeah, he was a steal actually when we got him where we did. And the fact that not as many other teams were in as hot of pursuit as Florida State was, I think this was a straight evaluation take where the staff trusted their evaluation here. Say what you may about that, but I don't think this was a desperation take by any means. And I don't expect him to hear his name at, you know, day one, game one in 2027. But I think it's a good piece, a depth piece for this class.
Ulrich Johnson, a 6'1", 215-pound linebacker out of Kennesaw, Georgia. Florida State went into Georgia three times in this five-commit streak. You beat out Virginia Tech for this kid. So Virginia Tech currently has a top 10 class. They currently have more blue chips than they do three stars on their commitment list. James Franklin has done a great job, and you guys all know my thoughts on James Franklin and where I would have liked him to land. So again, I think anytime you can pick up a kid like this, you're going to go do it. Again, a three-star that you're going to need to develop some. And again, we have our questions on who will be doing the developing, but a very active defender, a guy who is very physical, helps a ton in run support, flashes at times in pass coverage. But again, if you're beating out with James Franklin, who I still cry every night about not having, I'll take that as a win. Because for anything people want to say about James Franklin, I do think he is a really good recruiter. And I think this is another a good pickup for Florida State, who has not recruited the linebacker position especially well. I am fine with him just throwing numbers at the problem. Get as many as you can and see what sticks.
Yeah, and again, that's one of the other things. You know, I'm very much interested more so on a kid's offer sheet than I am his star ranking, unless, you know, he's one of those can't miss high four, five stars. But also, who are you recruiting against? Because sometimes there's those schools that you hear a recruiter's name, like a Eddie Grant was one before Florida State really got back when Jimbo first brought him on, where, you know, the Alabamas and Georgias of the world were like, oh man, this guy's coming in, now we got to go against him. You know, that's kind of what James Franklin is at the head coaching level, because he recruited well at Vanderbilt. Obviously Penn State is not the easiest place to recruit to. Yes, they have a storied history, a lot of talent in that region, but he did extremely well there. He's going to do well at Virginia Tech. I think he'll be there for a few years before he gets another chance at another big name job. I think he would have been very welcomed hire at Florida State. That obviously did not play out, but I think beating him in a recruiting battle, you know, especially in the summer when recruiting is really ramping up, because it's a juggling act this time of the year when it comes to recruiting, because you have so many kids on campus every single weekend. And to beat out Franklin here, I think that's another really good pickup for Florida State.
So, all right, we were really positive. We're 18 minutes in and we're really positive. Sitting here on June 14th, middle of the year, long way to go, but Florida State just picked up 3 4 stars and a couple other commits that could rise in the rankings. We'll see what happens. Just picked up 3 4 stars, and Richie, they still sit with the number 53 class in America. I'm not trying to be all doom and gloom. I'm not trying to just be over the top negative, but ultimately, even with the good run that you're on right now, you are still behind teams like North Carolina, Stanford, Boston College, Purdue, Syracuse, Houston, Wake Forest, Northwestern, Kansas, Colorado. Dion doesn't even like to recruit. NC State, Duke, Rutgers, Kansas State, Pittsburgh, Georgia Tech, and then you start to get up toward the top 20, and I won't fault them for being behind any of those programs. The company you keep, you are directly ahead of Arizona State, Maryland, Cincinnati, San Diego State, Arizona, Illinois, and Texas State. If it makes you feel better, Alabama's sitting there even lower at 63 right now. Now, they're taking an incredibly small class. Their average star rating is 2 points higher than, like, they're in a much different world than you are when it comes to recruiting, but maybe you can take solace in the fact that at least you are ahead of Alabama, for whatever that means. But yeah, just not a great showing overall. They will get more kids. They're likely going to land a couple more this week upcoming, so we'll talk about them next week or whenever we get back on here. But man, I never thought I'd see the day where I had to hit the load more section every time I go to 24/7 Sports to check on the recruiting. It did. Unfortunately, because everybody else is getting commits too, you were in the low 40s to start last week, and even with getting 3-4 stars, everybody else, you know, takes commitments too, and you are sitting there in 53rd with your 10 commits.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, we just praised them for this week of recruiting, as they should be. But yeah, but when you look at the big picture, it's not where we want it to be. And again, I think we're going to follow this, and we're going to continue to update you guys on this. And TJ gives multiple updates throughout the week on this channel. Make sure you check those out. But, you know, ultimately this class, what does it really matter at the end of the day? Because there's this situation is so fluid with Florida State. Yes, you want to get up there and finish. And I do think they'll get in and finish probably top 30, maybe higher. We'll see. But right now it is kind of depressing when you look at some of the schools that are ahead of you, because recruiting for teams as the season gets going gets harder for everybody, but it's even harder when you're not having a good season on the field. And the summertime is when you want to rack up as many commits as you can, you know, those top three or so on your board at each position, try and get those players to jump on board. And they haven't done it consistently this cycle. And I think heading into the season, that's where you could run into some problems.
I know we're kind of down on the overall rank. Not kind of down. Yeah, the overall ranking sucks. yeah. The other maybe thought or complaint that I have with this class so far, no offensive line commits, which I think needs to change pretty quickly. I think Herb Hand does a phenomenal job of teaching offensive line play, developing offensive line play. I don't know how realistic it is to go to the portal every year and get five guys that can play together and gel together. Now, again, obviously concern number one for Florida State is just winning enough games to keep jobs. But I do think that needs to, I mean, where are the O-line guys, right? Like that, you know, we're into June. It's time to start landing some trench guys. Whether it's going to be for this staff, the next staff, whatever. You want to get those in. You did a good job this week. I think the concern or the issue at this moment is, yes, one good week did not just save an awful 6 months of recruiting. Like that would maybe be the way we put a bow on it. Like, hey, yeah, we could be happy with the fact that they were good this week. It's been bad for 6 months, and so that's kind of where we are right now. Any final thoughts on recruiting before we move on?
No, we try to be as positive as we could. And again, I'm not going to crap on a good week. And we know what it is long term. And, you know, we're just let this play out. Signing day isn't for a while, but it will be here before we know it.
Before we go on, I will give some love to Tallahassee Ford. We appreciate them for their continued support and always doing things in the local community to help people out. They have a Father's Day celebration on June 20th. That is Saturday. If you're anywhere in or close to the area, they'll be doing all kind of stuff. You don't even have to go buy a car. You can just go and hang out. They do a lot of community events. They do a lot of community outreach. They do a lot of things just for people locally in the area, which I am certainly appreciative of. I would be there if I wasn't leaving the next day to go to Dallas. So go check out Tallahassee Ford. And of course, as always, if you are in the market for a new vehicle, make sure that they are the first call you make. Even if you're not in Tallahassee, they will deliver to you. They'll get you hooked up and they'll make that process super simple, super easy. Appreciate them for their support. Richie, we started out real positive. Here's where we go off the rails just a little bit. I don't know if we'll go too far off the rails, but here's where we will address a few things because they have been kind of big picture national stories for Florida State. Is the fan base losing trust in the athletic department? Tomahawk Nation put out a survey, and only 9% of FSU fans surveyed are optimistic about the future of Seminole sports. Now, I will preface this by saying, had that survey come out to boosters, had that survey come out to people who are spending money, it probably would have looked a little bit different. I don't want to call this the most scientific survey ever that Tomahawk Nation put out. Certainly, people on social media, people that are clicking on these articles, people that are engaged with college football information in the offseason are going to be more critical. Your everyday fan that maybe just shows up in the fall is going to be a little bit different. So that number is super low. I understand that. It's probably a little skewed just by the kind of fan that checks on these kind of things in the middle of June. Survey super low there, and then a pretty low number on this. 17% say that they are not invested at all. Does that number surprise you? Or does it just feel like, hey, that's what you get when you bring back a coach that has 4 out of 6 losing seasons and hasn't won a road game in 2 years?
Yeah, I think we're both probably fall in that category of online too much people, right? and we see these comments. So these numbers do not surprise me at all. It's typically with a lot of things. When things are bad, you're going to have more and more people with negative outlooks. In this case, I think well-deserved, coming out and expressing their opinion. And that's kind of where they are. Because where is there to point to optimism or hope? Or, you know, it's not like this is a rough patch, right? This has been the norm under this leadership, going beyond Coach Norvell at this point. And to have any true faith or confidence, you know, which direction is the country going? Which direction is this football program going? I don't think anyone objectively would look at this and say they're trending upwards. And there's nothing that could happen minus a 4-0 start in September, which would shock everybody to say, okay, well, what is going on? That might just infuriate fans even more to say, what are we doing here? Like, okay, who are we going to lose to? Which bottom feeder are we going to lose to now that we started off hot? And I think that's part of it as well, right? Even when we get nice things, we start to think, okay, well, something bad's going to happen next because this doesn't happen in the current time. Florida State football fandom is just good after good after good. We're not used to stacking W's on or off the field right now. So this does not surprise me at all to see the sentiment of the fan base.
Yeah, I think that you asked where the optimism is. Luke's recruiting. women's soccer, which I love Coach Pinsky, and we won a individual national championship in track last night. The optimism is not in football, and it is fading from other places too. We can talk about this for just a moment before we go on, but Florida State probably just lost the most well-liked female athlete on their campus this week. And, you know, there have been multiple thoughts about why this happened. Some people, you automatically assume money. I've been told that wasn't necessarily the case. I saw one report that said Florida State had the money to bring back Issa Torres, but if they did that, they didn't think that they could go make a big splash in the portal. And so when she decided to jump in, now they have money to go make some big splashes in the portal, which they did. They brought in the ASUN Conference Player of the Year. But I do think that, you know, if the perception is that this is not, you know, so if it's not money, it's, hey, I want to go to a place where I can win. If the perception by the current team is, hey, I don't know that I can win here. And let's be very fair, Florida State, maybe you could call it unlucky losing to UCF with stepping off of a bag, but Florida State didn't make it out of their own regional this year and did lose to a 4 seed to open up that regional. Yeah, this wasn't a place you could win a national championship this year. Will it be next year? I don't know, but with everything that happens, you move games to neutral sites, you bring back a bad coach, you have a terrible recruiting class, you lose to a 4 seed twice in baseball on your own field, you lose to a 4 seed in softball on your own field, you lose the best player on your team. to the portal, whether it be money or championships or whatever, the public perception and the public trust, I think, in this athletic department, whether it's this person's fault or that person's fault or just a string of unlucky, you know, I don't know what the real answer there is, and I'm not pointing the finger at anybody specifically, but when you have that much that's either unlucky or just bad, I would say there'd be a lack of trust in Florida State athletics. We talked about liking what Luke's doing, but man, and the finish to the basketball season was really good. We really enjoyed it, and it would have been cool if they could have kept playing. And then even that program decided, hey, we're not going to keep playing in the NIT, which, you know, that's their choice. That's fine. But you finally get something you feel good about, and that's over before you know it too. So I don't know. I think it's hard to find a lot of places for optimism. You know, golf's getting Tiger Woods' son in a couple of years. So there's, you know, but again, how much do these little things move the needle? I don't know. But yeah, I think it's a tough time right now, and I understand why people are frustrated.
Yeah. And it's like you said, it's one of those things where even when football was struggling, but if we had every other sport was winning, right? You know, when I was in school, football struggled, but track won 3 national titles. And sure, no one that wakes up on a random Tuesday and says, hey, let's go down to the track and field meet, but at least winning something. And every fan of every school does it, right? When, a women's gymnastics wins a national title for Florida, none of those people could name a single player or a single athlete on that women's gymnastics team, but they're going to celebrate it as they should. That's part of the fandom of being a fan of a school and not just a program. And don't even get me started on the worst people who are fans of different programs at different schools. But I just think it's there's just not a lot to look forward to when it comes to Florida State athletics as a whole, especially because this athletic program has been so strong for the better part of, 2 decades at this point. And to see everyone not meeting expectations, because softball, baseball, they still had fine seasons, right? They had nothing terrible. Hosting a regional in both, that's nothing to get upset about, say the sky is falling. But you expect more. Baseball, obviously, they had the one major injury that, played a pretty big role in how their season ended. But it's just, as a whole, that you wonder, we talked last show or one of the previous shows about is the administration punting on this football season? And it's like, they're not punting on the athletic department, but sometimes it sure feels like it does in recent days, DJ.
Yeah, well, for sure. And again, I think every single thing that has happened can be explained in a vacuum, right? You lose your best softball player. Well, okay, that happens. That happens to a lot of programs. A lot of places have people transfer out. You lose your best basketball player in women's hoops. Okay, that happens. People transfer out. You have a couple of bad football seasons. I mean, that happens. You lose to a 4 seed twice in baseball. You know what? Some people are unlucky. Florida lost their regional at home as well, right? UCLA, the #1 team in the country, lost their regional at home. Like, that is bad things happen. We complain about the Georgia game getting moved to a neutral site. Well, that happened for Georgia too. Georgia's on the other side of it. That happened for them too. And then I saw Clemson in Georgia also move to a neutral site. So it happened for Clemson as well. I don't think that any one of these things is super shocking. Matt Rhule got a contract extension in Nebraska and they've been piss poor. And so, yeah, I mean, all the things that have happened to Florida State happen other places too. We are just on a generational run right now of just like, man, if anything bad can go wrong, it is going to happen to Florida State. And so you're just kind of like sitting here holding your breath saying, all right, when is the next bad news going to come? Or are we finally going to get some good news? Like, is there finally going to be something that we don't have to like shake our heads at and be frustrated over? So, we don't know. You really just don't know. And hopefully that good news that comes is in the form of football, but, we'll see. The article and the fan trust and just all that, again, we've talked about this in the past. We don't have to stay on it for too long, but it did mention the relocation of the game. The one thing that we continue, the Georgia game specifically, one thing that we reemphasized then was, donors were asked to pay tens of thousands of dollars for new seats. They did that with the promise of more big games in Doak, and you move one of them to a neutral site, probably Tampa, which doesn't hurt my feelings, you know, awfully. But you move one of them to a neutral site, and then you you move your biggest rivalry game of the year, the Florida game, to a Friday night because you're in a crappy conference, and you're still kind of struggling with that as well. So less big games in Doak, unfortunately. So again, the hits just kind of keep coming.
Yeah, and that's I don't know what else to add to that, TJ. It's just it's one thing after another. And you know, as you said, all individually, it's nothing major, you know, that's really happened. It's not like, you know, it's kind of like similar to just Georgia's problem with athletes driving cars, right? Like if it was just one speeding violation, nobody really cares. But when you have 30 plus or whatever it's been at this point, okay, now people say what's going on. And that's what it's been at Florida State, a bunch of small things just compounding into one big thing to make it seem like things are much worse than they are. The only truly glaring, huge misstep that we've had in recent years is the Mike Norvell contract. And unfortunately, that's one of the most important positions, player or coach, in the entire program when it comes to funding every program and keeping the fans happy for all of the programs as well.
Let's give some love to Prize Picks real quick. I will just tell you guys, the Stanley Cup Finals are wrapping up. Just a couple of games left there. Maybe just one game if the right team wins on that side. You've got UFC 250 tonight that you can go check out on the Prize Picks app. You can also go in and get in on the action on every single World Cup game. In fact, the game I'm watching right now, Germany, well, they might have taken it off because there's only 10 minutes left in the game. You can even get in on them live. So go check out the Prize Picks app. HMA is the code. You play $5. You get $50 instantly. I was hoping the NBA Finals would. The games I had for this were the NBA Finals that Richie and I were going to pick. There is no Game 6 now because the Spurs are choke artists. And so we won't pick any today, but stay tuned to the app. You can go play all of those things I mentioned, NHL, Stanley Cup Finals, every MLB game, every World Cup game, UFC 250 tonight. Go check it all out on the Prize Picks app. We appreciate them for their support. Richie, we'll wrap up with this. ESPN dropped an update, and Florida State, nothing even happened. Maybe they're just reading my tweets, but nothing even happened. Yeah. And ESPN post-spring here in the summer drops. We didn't even have a spring game. Maybe they were punishing us for that. But ESPN drops Florida State 10 spots down to, is it right at 50? Right at 50 that they're at?
Yeah, 50.
The number 50 team in the country. They are the number 13 team in the ACC now, according to the ESPN analytics and what they're projecting. Last year, Richie, Florida State finished as a top 30 team advanced analytics-wise. They just were terrible at a couple of things. They were terrible at red zone, and they were terrible at turnovers. But, like, moving the ball, stopping people on defense, they were actually pretty good at that. Now, in some games, they weren't. But, I mean, you think about, you held Miami to 28 points. You really did a good job holding Clemson down. You did a good job of holding NC State down for 2.5 quarters. You did a good job of holding Florida down. You held Bama down. You did some things really well, just awful, awful turnovers and being terrible in the red zone sunk FSU. So you were kind of top 30-ish. Last year, you could say your record was somewhat unlucky. This year, ESPN saying, like, no, they're just going to be bad. They're like a top 50 team. They're bottom half of the ACC. I think you play your 13th. I think every team you play in the ACC, with the exception of Boston College, is ahead of you. I'm not saying that you're going to be an underdog in every game, because certainly these rankings will change, but it doesn't seem like very good news. The rankings evaluate programs on roster outlook, recruiting, coaching stability, and long-term sustainability, showing that Florida State is certainly under a ton of pressure. And I never thought I'd sit here and talk about Florida State being projected to go into a season and being the 50th best team in America. I never thought I would sit here about talking about Florida State going into a season and thinking that they would be in the bottom half of an ACC conference that is awful. Miami's really good. That's about it. Louisville's okay. SMU's okay. Virginia, like, Clemson's recruiting better now, but I don't think they're going to be a great team this year. You're not even close to those teams. You are fighting it out with the Dukes and teams like that. So it is a wild place to be in when ESPN drops Florida State down to 13th in a conference that includes Cal, Stanford, SMU, and Wake Forest. But here we are.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we started the show with recruiting on a positive note, and this is where the negative part of recruiting slaps you in the face, like the reality that we are in right now. And that's years of poor recruiting at the high school level, and now for a couple cycles failing to have exceptional transfer classes. Not to say they haven't got a guy here or there, but you know what, that 2023 team was built in the portal, right? And now you're not having that same success in the portal, and you haven't got it done in high school, and this is where you get, you're barely a top half of the country in football in these projections. And you know, you've not done well at quarterback at all. It's been, obviously, since Jordan left, it's been a disaster at that position. And it looks like, you know, what they might get some success this year. But, I mean, nobody expects a consistently good quarterback play this season either. And that's the most important position in college football. I just don't see it. It's frustrating because you mentioned, even in the ACC, if we break it down that way, you know, it would be unacceptable. And let's forget the 90s, but even the thought of Florida State being outside of the top three in the ACC, you know, there's going to be years with Miami and Clemson that they've just projected right. Better because of what they've done. Sure. And guess what? Maybe a year you're projected fourth or fifth just because a team's bringing back a bunch of seniors. That's not going to happen anymore in this era of college football, where a team is going to have a bunch of seniors, or a team that's typically not very good brings back a veteran team because all the good guys go to other schools now. But the thought that you can't even crack the top 10 in a bad conference, like, let's just not pretend that it's good. It's a bad conference. It still is, with a couple decent teams. Miami's really good. You know, give them credit. They've navigated the waters well the past few years. But yeah, it's borderline depressing that, you know, I'm glad. I don't even know if I'm going to get the new college football game this year, TJ, because I mean, people are going to joke. You remember how when you were really good playing that NCAA college football game, you're like, oh, let me play with Duke and I'll still beat you. Now if it's going to be Florida State, people are going to be like, I'll be Florida State and I'll still beat you. Like, that's where we are right now. Not a good place to be.
I'm immediately trading Malachi Toney and Jeremiah Smith to my roster as soon as the game comes out. So I will have fun playing with it, and I'll recruit better than Mike does. Yeah, I mean, if I had told you after 2013, you know, I understand, or 2023, sorry, I know the snub happened. I know the Georgia game happened. But if I had told you after 2023 that Florida State was being projected at 13th in the country 3 years later, well, you would have probably thought like I was a little off by that. Like 13th in the country, like we're falling down like 10 spots at this point. Like we're on top of the world. We thought we had a good portal class coming in. We, for some reason, believed in DJ Uiagalelei, probably because of what Mike had done with Jordan. And we thought we were just going to run it back. We got Daryl Jackson. We got Josh Farmer back. I think in 2024, and that's why that year was such a shocker, I would have been not like shocked, not like we are right now. But if you'd have told me back then, hey, you're going to be ranked like 13th in the country going into the year, like you're going to be outside the playoff talk of an expanded playoff because there's obviously a group of five qualifier. Now you could play your way into it, right? And 13th's not terrible. But I didn't even thought that was a little low. Like, oh, certainly we won't be 13th, right? We're 13th in the conference. Like that, again, that conference includes Syracuse, Boston College, Wake Forest, Cal, Stanford, SMU, which is a good program right now. I'm not trying to crap on them. When they were added to the conference, we didn't. That wasn't our thought. Oh, this is going to be some great team. We knew they had money. We knew they had investment being in Texas, all those things. But I don't think we thought like, oh, yeah, SMU is going to come in here and start running this conference or anything like that. Like, oh, maybe in 5 or 10 years. You're talking about a G5 team that got like a pity bid invite to the ACC is significantly better than you. And then all the other teams that I did mention, Duke, North Carolina, the teams that are respectable, but like shouldn't be on your level. Virginia Tech, NC State, Georgia Tech. Like, I'm not calling those bad programs. They all do fine. But yeah, you know, Louisville, it would be, you mentioned like, oh, there might be 1 year where you're fourth. Yeah, I would think Miami, Clemson, maybe Louisville under Jeff Brohm, like kind of sneaks up ahead of you. Certainly not 13th. And that's unacceptable. You know, there is really no. I joked on social media, just said, like, man, if you're being projected 13th at Florida State, you know, at this point in the offseason, I think that in and of itself is a fireable offense. Like, there should never be a situation where the team that literally built the conference is projected to be this bad. Now, the good thing about projections, Richie, if I'm going to put a silver lining on this, they are legitimately just projections. When we won two games, we were supposed to win 10 that year. Vegas had our win total at 9.5. You can overcome projections. I don't know that I have a lot of confidence in this roster to be able to do that. I don't know that I have a lot of confidence in this coaching staff to be able to do that. But you are allowed to overperform your projection. Like, that is something that you're allowed to do in football. Not saying it happens. You play a lot of teams ahead of you. You know, when we talked about the ACC teams that are ahead of you, every single ACC team that you play, again, with the exception of BC, is ahead of you on this list. And both out-of-conference teams that you play in Florida and Alabama are ahead of you. You are ahead of Central Arkansas, and you are ahead of New Mexico State. So if that makes you feel better, you're ahead of three teams on this. Based on the ESPN rankings, and Florida State will not just win three games this year. If they do, you'll get to see me celebrate some. But I don't think they just win three games. But ESPN's projections are basically telling you, yeah, Florida State's winning three or four games this year. And that is a reality that I never thought would come out of my mouth.
Yeah, and that's where we are, right? And I don't think we're surprised. I mean, what's Vegas at? 5.5? And I think the under is probably going to get hammered.
I think it's 6.5 with the under juice.
Which is insane to me that you would put it at that. But yeah, it's just frustrating because I remember, you know, I went to Florida State in, you know, part of the lost era, lost decade. And even when coming off a 7-6 season, I'm like, oh, it's the ACC. We can still win this. Who do we have to worry about? Clemson? And that's before Clemson was what they have been, you know, the past decade or so. But still, that just the idea that, you know, we're struggling in. It's just embarrassing because of all the benefits you have. It's not like all things are equal and you're just, you know, projected this far because of whatever it may be. No, you have some serious built-in advantages at Florida State that Miami has the same built-in advantages. You could argue Florida State has more in terms of recent history, but, you know, going back 10 plus years, SMU doesn't have any advantages. They have more money, sure, but I mean, I could think of plenty of kids from Florida who would probably take a little less money to go to Florida State over SMU if they thought Florida State would give them a chance to play for a conference and national title and make the college football playoff. You know, just these teams, those are the teams that, okay, it makes sense. But yeah, just some of these schools that you're behind, you're just like, my goodness, what happened and how did we get here? And we all watched it happen. We know how we got here. And it's just frustrating that this is here we are. And, you know, we used to go down the schedule, TJ, looking at, okay, what games could potentially be losses? What games do we need to worry about? And now you got to look at the schedule and you're like, okay, we could probably win this game. That'll be a tough one. There's no outside of the two. There's no auto wins of your 10, like, real opponents on the schedule. You don't have a single auto win on there.
Yeah, no, I agree. If BC was at home, I would make that an auto win. Not with a lot of confidence, but I would say, like, they'll find a way to win that one at home. Because that's on the road, like, I need to see them play on the road before I can say that's an auto win. I think that's the closest thing to your next win. Now, all this said, I think they will win games. And we haven't done a full schedule preview yet. I think they will get to 5 or 6, maybe 7 if some things really break right. You get better play out of the quarterback than you're expecting. Your offensive line is good again. You could get to 6 or 7. That's not good enough for FSU. That's not acceptable. But excuse me. Yeah, they're in a place where they're just, it goes back into our last segment where there's not a lot of confidence. There's not a lot of trust. And hopefully that's wrong. Hopefully the fan base is misreading this thing. Hopefully Florida State's a lot better than we're thinking. Or if we're right, hopefully we'll have the balls to make a change at the end of this year. If not, I don't know, man. Your fan satisfaction survey will be 6% next year instead of 9. So I don't know what else to say. Richie, any shout outs or anything before we get out of here?
No shout outs on my end. You know, actually, this is terrible. I love golf. Shout out Florida State. They Miles, I forget his last name. He's the top amateur in the world, committed to Florida State. Charlie was on his bag at the U.S. qualifier. Russell, yes, sorry. He will be playing in the U.S. Open, which is really cool. Charlie will not be on the bag, but it was cool to see those two guys together when he did qualify for the U.S. Open.
I don't know if I have any specific shout outs this week. Again, shout out to the World Cup. I'm excited to go to that, excited to see people there, experience Dallas, and experience some other things too, and hopefully see Argentina win another game and another World Cup overall. But that has been a fun thing to do. So we appreciate you guys for hanging out today. I know the World Cup's on. I know there's a lot of stuff going on. So thank you for spending your Sunday with us. We will clip this up and get it out on the timeline, out on the channel this week if you didn't catch all of it. And I think that's it. Richie, we'll see you soon. Go Noles.